Welcome to the Data Guru Podcast. We're your hosts, Scarlett Burks
and Laurel Wilhelm Volpe. We will trade off hosting duties this year to bring you a wide range of data experts discussing audience strategy, emerging trends,
and practical ways to boost campaign performance.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on this edition of the Data Guru Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about data clean rooms. Now, I don't mean the clean rooms with people in white coats, hairnets, and shoe coverings. Data clean rooms, which are such a hot topic in advertising and marketing, you can't open an industry publication without seeing several articles on the topic. So our goal today is to discuss how we at Axiom are seeing leading brands take advantage of this latest technology and use cases. And I'm joined today by a resident data guru, Linda Harrison, and Bhavna Gadania, who leads Axiom's partnership with Snowflake and other cloud computing companies. So before we get started, let's do some intros. Linda, will you tell us a little bit about yourself? And then you're up next, Bhavna.
Well, hi, I'm Linda Harrison. I'm Senior Director of Data Strategy at Axiom. I've been at Axiom for more than a year or two. I won't tell you how long. And I help clients and brands find the right people for their campaign, whether it's to their own customers, to prospects, and across any channel, email, digital, direct mail, and anything else we can think up next.
And I'm Bhavna Gadania. I'm a senior director and under our corp strategy team for platform partnerships. So I work closely with a lot of our cloud platform partners, Snowflake, Databricks, AWS.
So Bhavna, you are the perfect person, it sounds like, to answer or to explain to us why data clean rooms are such a hot topic at the moment. So why are we talking about this now? Can you kind of help us understand?
Yeah, it's totally trending. You know, we're cresting at the peak of this ethical marketing mountain, which is how I like to refer to it. I think there's three major things going on. First, it's the privacy regulations and guidelines that are tightening all over the world. It's not just continent specific, but even in the US, we're seeing state specific implementing their own privacy laws that outline comprehensive rules around data collection. And, you know, while the US doesn't have that single regulation that covers the states, themselves have implemented their own legislation. So there's more to follow there. And secondly, I think consumers, you know, they realize the importance of privacy. It's really important for brands to have this at top of mind as a priority in order to maintain that trust of their consumers, to retain your existing consumers, and then, of course, keep their brand value. Last but not least, you know, we're seeing the deprecation of the third-party cookie. And yeah, procrastinators might feel that Google's extension into end of 2024 gives people more time for Chrome, the gatekeeper of all of this. But a lot of people are saying, you know, why wait? I think having a marketing offensive approach where brands want to market ethically, again, build that trusted relationship and know the customer. It's really coming back to, let's start combating the death of this third-party cookie with a first-party data strategy. And then surprise, surprise, a data clean room can help bridge that gap. So yeah, I think they're critical to joining first-party data sets, really maximizing that value, and then doing it in a secure environment.
Yeah, thank you. You mentioned Google. It seems like walled gardens like Google or Facebook and Amazon, others, you know, they were early adopters of clean rooms and probably or possibly paved the way for what we're seeing now. So Linda, you work with a lot of advertisers and marketers. In your experience, how have you seen brands working specifically with these walled garden clean rooms?
Well, it's been a mixed bag, right? In the past, they had a really difficult time finding out how the campaign worked, right? Who opened an account? Did they click on my ad? Did they watch the whole ad? All those types of things were very difficult to figure out in completion. And, you know, over time, that's gotten better. You know, Google Analytics is a great tool. Some people love it, some people hate it, but at least it gives you some insight into what happened. So there's a love-hate relationship there because they sort of made it easy in a way. If you know you're not going to get the data back, you know you're not going to have to deal with all of that information and figure out a way, a walled garden adds that little extra boost of, well, it's out of my hands anyways. I'm just going to go with it and use the tools that they give me and move on with my life. Now, many clients do want that better insight. So we do additional things and work with the platform to get more insights, to get the ad exposure and the test and the control information and add additional measurement on top of it so that you can find out things that maybe weren't even used in the campaign. So did this resonate more with males or females, or was a personics cluster, our life stage segmentation system, really working in the background, and that if we were to refine the campaign next time, we would do X, Y, or Z. So there's lots of tips and tricks that Axiom knows on how to get through that walled garden nightmare.
Oh, that's awesome. And when we think about data clean rooms, even beyond walled gardens, Bhavna, can you explain what we're really talking about? Like, what exactly is a clean room? Because it's used so commonly now, I get the feeling that it possibly means different things to different people. So can you help us just have a bit of a level set?
Yeah. And I was just having this chat with my dad, funny. And he's like, what is a data clean room? So I was like, all right, let's really put this into a lay woman's terms. I think of it as just a central, like a neutral, secure zone for two or more parties to share their data. And he said, yeah, like a Switzerland. And I was like, yeah, you know, pretty neutral, if you all things considered, for the majority of the time, pretty secure. And you can have that exchange of data and it's safe, where one party can't see what the other party is doing. I think my textbook answer, pretty close to that. It's like, it is that secure environment. It's a place to bring their data together. You get to abide by these data management regulations that I mentioned earlier. You still get a lot of transparency, and you enable marketers to really manage this themselves, their own data, and perform any unique analysis that might want to do. Like, think anonymized marketing and advertising data for multiple parties for attribution as an example of what can happen in clean room.
So back in the day, this shows how long I've been at Axiom. It was in the 90s, and there was all these banks that wanted to purchase another bank, right? So they wanted to get that overlap analysis of, well, if I bought company ABC, how many of those customers are already my clients, etc. And that was sort of the infancy in my mind of a data clean room. We just didn't call it that. We just did a lot of merge purge between the two. Neither party could see what was happening, and we gave them back the results. And now we've taken it to that next level where there's tools that they can use and they can get more insights than just like, what's the net between the two of you? Do you agree, Bhavna?
Yeah, yeah. What were they called back then?
We just called it merge purge.
I like that. Merge purge, modge podge.
Yeah. Bang, bang, the files together.
There you go. Get great insights.
Love it.
Yeah. And it's great that it's not a new concept, but we've evolved the concept and its evolution into the cloud.
Yeah. So speaking of evolution, like, and I love, this is the perfect segue for where I wanted to go, because, you know, from our perspective, Axiom is a company that's been, you know, helping marketers for more than 50 years. So we're like, oh, this isn't that new. But, you know, for a lot of people, it is. So let's talk about some of the ways that you both are seeing data clean rooms being used. How are brands using this? What are they getting from it? And do you see anything, for example, that's really, you know, industry specific, like, I don't know, insurance does this, or retail really cares about X, you know, what are you seeing?
Well, I see more credit related things, right? Where for financial services, the credit bureau will actually send us all their information, right? And then we do all of the work to find the right audience. Maybe that financial services company doesn't want the credit bureau to know their specific recipe for who's going to qualify for their campaign. Then we match it to who we think is in market and going to be the best responders. And then we remove out their current customers. And then we might match it to something else, a channel, right? We might match it then to email. So we're doing all of these gyrations and keeping it in a privacy secure. I mean, think credit data. That's the highest, one of the highest controlled information. And then we share back the information to the right parties. So we're doing those types of campaigns more and more, and we're a trusted entity because we've proven that we know what we're doing and that we've got all the safeguards in place.
Well, and before we keep going with how brands are using this, I actually want to just take a little detour for a second into this concept of privacy and security, because it's not the sexiest topic. I mean, sorry, some of our colleagues who do this every day, but it's so important. And especially, you know, with Bhavna, what you were saying in the, you know, just a few minutes ago about the patchwork of privacy regulations being rolled out in the US and, you know, more comprehensively in other countries. What does Axiom have to offer in light of these situations and everything moving to the cloud, you know, and we hear about data breaches and things like that. So can you both just talk for a second about what are the considerations, you know, brands need to have top of mind as they're exploring clean rooms, in particular with regards to privacy and security?
I think there's a real focus around brands' data, and data sovereignty right now is at the utmost importance, knowing where and when your data was accessed or even sent. And I think what the cloud does offer over our traditional on-prem is data sharing. And it's becoming a requirement of not sending my data, but permissioning an exposure of a certain file to use that file to obfuscate their PII before any type of analysis is done. And I think that that's becoming part of the regulation, an ability to also drill down and take a look at access, that it's got timestamps, dates, etc. So I think that that's fairly modern approach. You hear about data share, delta share, and I think sometimes the simplicity of the concept, I tell people, masks the complexity. It's not just a one and done. It's like a living, not breathing product that we automate, but we also pressure test and make sure that it's not penetrated by hackers or data isn't accessible by other groups.
I would also say that then the privacy flows, how the data is transferred, what's in there, the permissible uses of the data, that's all aligned at the beginning of the campaign, right? We get all that approved. We go through all of the flows, have all of our experts look at it and make sure that this is how we want to set it up. It's a best practice. It meets all our privacy rules, things like that. So we're looking at that at the front end, doing privacy by design is what we call it. Pretty fancy word, but it really works.
Yeah. And it's what we've done for years on-prem, and the evolution to cloud has only added to the framework and built on top of what these platforms already have. It wasn't something conjured up overnight. I think it's like, Linda, as you said, like years and years of doing these types of use cases, like matching, the simplest way to put it, like our investment in security and privacy on that framework takes a lot of work. Tons of risk and lots of experience. And it's just a global evolution that's happening. And then to innovate on top of that and manage that risk, I think it's great if a brand wants to get started and has a surplus amount of cash laying around. But the reality is a really complex setup and management that's frankly high risk, high stakes, especially for organizations and regulations that are surrounding us around privacy.
So it sounded like a, you know, we started off with a pretty simple concept and value prop, but it got complicated really fast.
I think that the companies have the simple use cases like antiquated technology silos that they just want to understand internally and get a unified view. But I think when physical and virtual worlds are blurred now, kind of having security top of mind for organizations are important. Like, for example, augmented reality, right? I'm seeing a lot of brands tap in to virtual car showrooms. I'm trying to find a car. I've already been targeted by some companies that know my credit score. I actually get to be inside of a car without leaving my house, and I get an up close and personal view of what the car will look like, everything from what color like the knobs are and the buttons and what's where. And all of that personalized experience is brought together, you know, by the findings of partners sharing their data in a safe environment. And also knowing Bhavna likes augmented reality. She selects that option so many times. Oh, yeah, she's been using it to buy furniture and even virtually try on clothes during the pandemic. And for me, it's like brilliant. And like the next wave of becoming a hermit.
Well, I've been trying to buy new flooring, right?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So we had water damage. We have to replace the flooring and they don't make our floor anymore. Well, my house is very open concept, flows room to room. So I'm going to have to redo the whole house. So now I've been looking at flooring samples and trying to do the augmented reality. And it's amazing. The flooring companies are way far behind. It's about 20% of them will let you upload a picture of your room and put their flooring on it.
They need to take a cue from the retailers and the auto manufacturers Bhavna's looking at.
Exactly.
I'm just curious if the clothes, I think clothing would be one of the most difficult things. Has that worked for you, Bhavna? Have you had luck?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really into jackets and ties lately. And I will always try, bow tie, like a tie tie. And that's all I do is I try them on. And I've even got screenshots of myself. So I send it to friends and family. I'm like, hey, what do you guys think? And yeah, it's great. And it's actually changed my buying experience to now be more like, not co-browsing, but like co-shopping with people who select. And if they've got access or profile on some of these sites, they can go and swap things out, like the color of other options that are available to say, this is a little bit better on your skin tone. Or this one's matching your personality.
So it's like a personal clean room in addition to the, the brand's clean room. So you can share with others. That's really interesting. I love that. I had not actually heard of that with clothing specifically. Very cool. So if somebody wanted to get started, so they've heard a lot of the conversation around clean room, they're looking into their crystal ball, see all of the privacy regulations coming, the changes in third-party identifiers, what are some first steps that they can and should be taking or thinking about? And this question is for both of you.
My number one thing would be budget. Clean rooms are not cheap, right? You need to make sure that this is the thing that you need to do. And maybe there's just a use of a clean room and not set up your whole own entity. Would you agree with that, Bhavna? Or do you think everyone can afford it at some level?
I'd say definitely think about your budget, think about your scope, keeping your end in mind of what you want to achieve. Like, don't kick the proverbial bottle can down the street. Like, think about it now. Like, what do you want your dream clean room to look like? And let's phase this. I think, our model is platform as a service. So you can license a platform. You can start off with a very simple use case. So budget wise, Linda, if you are, you've got some dollars sitting around and you just want to get started and see what the results are. And some cases you've got to prove the ROI back to your leadership team. It's a great model to get you on board. And just like cloud, that you can add more services, you can scale services down as well. And so as your scope and experience grows and understanding and adding more partners, keeping that whole kind of paradigm in check in terms of cost, scope, outcomes, and then realizing the value of these outcomes and what you're going to do next to activate. Like, there's so many channels that can be taken advantage of with that data set.
So kind of a crawl, walk, run.
100%. Yep, you nailed it. Love that phrase. I used to do good, better, best, and even POC before the, crawl, walk, run. Like, what is that? Sit up, crawl, walk, run.
Yeah.
Start pulling up. Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. Basically it's a test. It's a pilot.
Right.
So I like to call things a pilot versus a proof of concept. We know it will work.
True. Right?
We know that this is really what you need to be doing next. We've done enough of these. We've got the use cases. We've got the experience, but we need to get your leadership aligned and show them the benefits, the ease of use, the tools they can use, all that type of thing.
Yeah.
I love that. So if somebody is interested in exploring their own sit up, crawl, walk, run, plan, reach out to this group, Bhavna or Linda. info@axiom.com. So just to wrap up, we usually like to end on a lighthearted note. As we were preparing for this podcast, our listeners may have noticed Bhavna's accent, British. And so somehow we got for a moment on British tea or afternoon tea. So my question is, what's your favorite thing to do on an afternoon? And if you want to throw in something that, you know, most Americans may not know about British tea, Bhavna, feel free. But my question is to you both.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I'll go back to tea because that's very near and dear to me, being born and bred in the UK. A lot of people, when I moved here, thought tea is an England thing. So even the gorgeous teapots that you'll often find tea served to you in, and I tell people, hey, it's not really, tea didn't really reach the UK until the 16th century. And when it did, it was initially marketed all over the country as an exotic drink to soothe medical ailments. Like, unbelievable, right? And now it's like the most commonly drink. Yeah, medical ailments. And I'd say my favorite thing to do in an afternoon, not on a day like this, but normally, is I drink tea. I sit in my garden, watch my dogs go at it, sometimes MMA style, but it's just my favorite thing, and it's soothing. And you'll see me drinking tea constantly all throughout the day, and I carry my own tea bags in a Ziploc. Pretty hardcore.
I also carry my own tea bags when I travel.
Yay.
But I recently tried to go to loose leaf tea.
Oh yeah.
And I found this wonderful jasmine tea, but then I became ill, and I'm not sure if it was the tea or not, because my illness started right when I started drinking that tea and lasted for a couple of days after I stopped. So I'm going to try it again and see if that is a culprit or if it was something else.
Wait, that goes against the whole medical ailment soothing tea story, Linda.
Who would have known that a 16th century medical claim could be false? What?
How dare they? All that research and analysis.
Right? Yeah, like you, Bhavna, my favorite afternoon activity is to be outside. You know, to be outside, often hot drink in hand. It'll either be coffee or tea, depending on the level of my energy or lack thereof. But yeah, outside, taking a walk, sitting in the backyard. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah, I love it. Like, if anybody wants to chat about data clean rooms, we're over a cup of tea. Just becomes that great conversation. And even the best, like, scoping or talking to brands about, we want to try something out, usually like, do you want to go get yourself a cup of tea and let's do a virtual, just have a little chin wag about it.
Love it.
Let's have a digestive biscuit while we're there.
Yes. I'm starving now. I better run.
So thank you both so much for joining me today. I think this has been a great conversation, and have a wonderful rest of your day, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you.